morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Thursday, February 19th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, real radio made by real members of the community for listeners who really care about community. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Attorney General John Kroger ups the ante by asking FERC to wait until Oregon issues the state permits needed to build the LNG facility before trashing Cascadia's objections to the terminal.
Record low salmon runs in the past mean more of the same for the foreseeable future.
And Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius remains a finalist for Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Portland area weather, mostly sunny in the north, highs in the mid to low 50s and 60s, mostly cloudy along the coast tonight with lows in the 30s, and then tomorrow, clouds on the coast and partly sunny inland.
And first regional headlines. Now that the stimulus package has been signed into law, a mad rush to the trough begins. But wait, let's think carefully about how that money gets spent. Are we going to be building more problems into the landscape that further on down the road, no pun intended, are ultimately going to cost taxpayers, or worse yet, may not even be fixable? Eric Stashian of 1,000 Friends of Oregon joins us this morning to talk about some of the considerations that surround the stimulus package. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for being with us. Eric will be on in just a good morning, Eric.
Hello. I'm here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. So stimulus money is going to start pouring in, and Oregon says that they've got so-called shovel-ready projects. What are some of these projects, and who's going to be making the decisions?
Well, Chris, I think, you know, just sort of by way of background, obviously the listeners know that our transportation infrastructure is a mess. There's been deferred maintenance on roads and bridges, potholes everywhere, et cetera. Not news to anybody. And in addition, transit systems around the state have experienced increased ridership but decreased revenues, and thus they're forcing service cutbacks. TriMet's holding a series of hearings to figure out what kind of cuts they're going to make. The Chariot bus service in the Salem-Kaiser area has totally eliminated Saturday and Sunday service. Lane Transit down in the Eugene area has cut back like 15%. And then you've got a situation where Portland and other cities and towns around the state are experiencing an explosion in folks biking, folks walking. So there are a lot of considerations out there, and this whole thing is complicated by the fact that the state gas tax revenues are locked into the Constitution to be spent on roads. They can't be spent on these other alternate sources. So 1,000 Friends and a number of other groups have asked the governor to take this $334 million that's coming to Oregon through the economic stimulus bill to be spent on transportation, to be spent on transit, bike, and pedestrian projects so that we can increase these alternate modes to both provide green jobs and to make our community stronger. The Oregon Transportation Commission held a hearing yesterday at which they were about to rush through and approve a number of projects around the state, some of which were road widening and expansion, and they heard a lot of grief about that, so they've delayed their decision for at least a week. So we're encouraging listeners to go to our website, www.friends.org, and you can see right there on the homepage about the issue and send an email to the governor.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Eric Stashian of 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Eric.
The Navy's agreed to hold another public hearing to address concerns about a plan to expand its training operation off the Oregon coast. Donald Shrigardis, Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy, said the department would also extend the public comment period to March 11th. Fishermen worry about munitions debris tearing up nets and longer closures of the large swaths of ocean. Environmental groups say that increased use of sonar will harm whales and other marine mammals.
Gee, they nearly snuck that one by us, but ever vigilant Cascadians having much experience watching the LNG front. know when these things start coming down the so-called pipeline, no pun intended, after asking a federal appeals court to block a liquefied natural gas terminal on the Columbia River, that, of course, would be Bradwood Landing, Attorney General John Kroger has asked federal regulators to wait for a ruling. Kroger filed a request with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission last Friday, asking the commission to stay its September approval of Bradwood until the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rules on the state's challenge. Kroger also asked the commission to wait until Oregon issues the state permits needed to build the LNG facility. So it's the permits now that stand in the way.
Oregon lawmakers hope to encourage property owners to invest in energy efficiency upgrades by expanding the state loan program. A bipartisan group say the move would help combat climate change while also creating jobs throughout the state by dramatically increasing the number of efficiency projects every year.
But, you know, once environmental problems begin, they do tend to snowball, and it's really hard to stop them once they start moving. A record low number of Chinook salmon returned to rivers in California's Central Valley last year, indicating that severe restrictions on salmon fishing are likely again this year. We've already seen some here in Oregon. The Pacific Fishery Management Council reported that in 2008, a total of a little over 66,000 natural and hatchery Chinook or king salmon adults were estimated to have returned to the Sacramento River Basin to spawn. That's the lowest estimate on record.
Port of Astoria commissioners have decided to pay $174,000 in state and federal fines for dredging violations in 2005. The commissioners voted 4-1 to approve agreements with the Army Corps of Engineers and the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. They admitted the port illegally discharged dredged material into the Columbia River estuary without permission.
And you see, the dredging went on because they figured this was the easiest and the cheapest thing to do, but somebody always ends up paying somewhere down the line. A spokesman review newspaper will freeze its wages in 2009 and seek a 5% salary cut for all managers, non-union employees who earn more than $11 an hour, and with their voluntary consent, all union employees, too. This is the Spokane spokesman review we're talking about. The paper has already laid off numerous employees from its newsroom and other departments. Not a good sign.
Also in Washington State yesterday, newspaper publishers implored lawmakers to give them a temporary break on the state's main business tax. Under a proposed measure, the business and occupation tax on newspapers would be cut by 40% through 2015.
Proudly walking the wrong way down the escalator, though, is Boeing's CEOs. They say that freezing wages and eliminating bonuses to avoid layoffs would be counterproductive for Boeing and other big employers. CEO of Boeing, Jim McNerney, wrote in a memo that such moves would, hurt the company's ability to attract and retain high-performing employees. The landscape is crawling with high-performing employees who've been laid off or fired or let go.
But they don't need jobs because they have those big bonuses.
That's right.
Oregon farmers and ranchers posted a record $4.9 billion in sales last year, the sixth consecutive year of growth. Of the 84 commodities listed in the report, 57 showed increases in preliminary sales compared to 2007.
So farming is good so far. Back to fishing, not so good. An angler-led coalition, Safe for Salmon, thinks it's got a solution to the perpetual battle between sport fishermen and commercial gill netters on the Columbia. Bump the gill netters into the river's side channels and bays, but stock those fishing grounds with more hatchery salmon and steelhead. So we put the gill netters together with the hatchery fish. Two bad ideas. Looking for a solution.
The legislature's top budget writers offered a plan to cut $362 million over the next 4 months. The move could force schools to close an average of 5 days early this spring. Think about what the state and the country will look like down the road as public education becomes a distant memory.
Idiocracy. Anybody saw the movie Idiocracy? Right there. There it is. In our own backyard. Now, time to break out the old DVDs of Dr. Strangelove and have a look at that again. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is traveling to South Korea today, the next stage of her Asia tour. There has been talk of regime change in North Korea. They actually used that word. Haven't we learned anything? North Korea, of course, is just itching to blast a few nukes around. The way Reuters puts it, Clinton raised the possibility of a power struggle in North Korea. They say, the so-called experts say that there is instability there, and they're getting ready to capitalize on that. Good morning. Spencer, KBO's Spencer Raymond joins us this morning with GC Dirt. Only this morning we're going to take a look to the east and see what's brewing there. Thanks for joining us, Spencer.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, you're right. The question is, what is brewing on the Korean Peninsula? And Hillary Clinton making one of her first big trips outside the country to Asia this week. She was in Japan earlier. She was in Indonesia yesterday. And now she's in Seoul, South Korea, to talk about the Korean Peninsula, the safety there, and what is going on. And, you know, Chris, there's been threats coming out of North Korea for about a week now that they want to launch they want to test launch a long-range missile that a lot of people think can travel over 6,000 miles, which from the Korean Peninsula could get into parts of Alaska and the west coast of the U.S., meaning the northwest, that's closest to Korea. If that's a nuclear weapon or not, that has yet to been really discovered, or if they could load a nuclear warhead onto that missile. But
well, we could take Sarah Palin and put her on an iceberg with some binoculars and have her keep watch for us.
Yeah, that's true. But what is most important to keep an eye on for North Korea here is the leadership change. The regime changed, as you mentioned. Kim Jong-il is old and sick, and his grasp on the country is beginning to wane. The Foreign Affairs Council in the North Korean government is really taking control of the foreign diplomacy, and the perception that we as Americans and the international community have of North Korea is changing almost on a monthly basis. The six-party talks, which again are the talks that were created to help North Korea denuclearize, have been going okay. Remember in the fall, North Korea, the United States took North Korea off the terror list, which was a first step to getting North Korea to stop their weapons program, which is stopped by all accounts, and the international community agrees that the nuclear programs have halted. The question, though, is how much nuclear fissile material do they have currently that is not destroyed yet?
And, two, North Korea is not happy about the United States failing to keep up their part of the bargain and supply fuel and food for the people there who, you know, constantly in a state of semi-starvation. It's they're in a terrible situation. And, of course, thinking about this, too, from an economic point of view, this is exactly what many security analysts have worried about, that unstable regimes during a situation of world financial crisis are more likely to explode than in other times of relative stability. Thank you so much, Spencer. That, of course, was KBO's reporter Spencer Raymond bringing us DC Dirt live from South Korea today. Thanks so much, Spencer.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, February 19th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is the KBU AM News and Public Affairs Director, Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoint, Catherine Austin Fitz on Obama's stimulus package.
Thanks for listening. Have a good day.